My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time now to head out to the BetQL guest hotline. You can download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Say good morning to Chip Patterson, college football writer for CBS Sports. Chip, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Fastest turnaround we got all season. Hope y'all are doing well.
Yeah, the Florida State dropping to 0-2 it's a real head scratcher. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Bill O'Brien's BC Eagles to go in and just push around the Seminoles like they did last night. It was a pretty impressive debut for Bill O'Brien for the BC Eagles. Disappointing for the Florida State fan base. Where do the Seminoles go from here? I mean, this is a pretty devastating start to the season for a team that had high expectations.
Let me just say this real quick, Chip. Like, the portal's a big thing, and Florida State uses it. He's got a million transfers. I actually thought this when I first heard it. I was surprised the best he could do was DJU in the portal at quarterback.
So the thinking from Florida State was, and like I'll get to the big picture stuff, but I know for a fact the thinking from Florida State's coaching staff was, we are not getting DJ Uiagalelei thinking that we are going to unlock something that has not been unlocked. Right. Like, there was no hubris or arrogance that he was going to be something that he's not. Remember, in his recruiting class, among quarterbacks, he's there between Bryce Young and CJ Stroud.
Yep.
I mean, the top three quarterbacks in his recruiting class are Bryce Young, DJU, and CJ Stroud. And so, you know, we're not going to try to think that we're going to be able to recapture that evaluation of him coming out of high school. Florida State's staff believes that we can put enough around DJ so that we're not going to ask him to be anything more than he was at Oregon State, which was, you know, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, decent completion percentage, but very much just out there managing the offense. To me, you mentioned the transfer portal. It's not about DJ. It's the fact that the evaluations and the additions at some of the other places on this roster have just not panned out and or not gelled. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that this defense that you had gone into the portal to try to pick up some replacements for guys like Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and, you know, some of those guys that really made the Seminoles really salty on that side of the ball, as such that they were able to win the ACC championship even without Jordan Travis. That, to me, is the biggest glaring issue with Florida State, is that in both the Georgia Tech loss and the Boston College loss, they got pushed around at the line of scrimmage and they could not get off the field when they needed to. That they had, and I don't know if you guys have even pointed this out yet, but like, they had 12 men on the field and still gave up a touchdown run inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
This is Florida State University football. You're playing at home and you are getting pushed around when you got a man advantage.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like some real gut check, soul searching, coaching staff, locker room. You know what? Maybe there was something mystical in USC and FSU switch defenses. Because when I saw USC play against LSU, I saw a team that was fundamental with their tackling. They were more structurally connected, and they weren't giving up as many explosive plays. Garrett Nussmeier had to be awesome. FSU, that looked like the USC defense of last year. Bunch of arm tackling, a bunch of weak effort. And it's just, again, I'm sitting here watching this thing. I can't, you know, speak to exactly the effort of all 11 players, but man, there were a lot of broken tackles from Boston College, and that's not what I expected at all. So yeah, DJ was never expected to be anything that he has not already been in college football. That's why this is even, you know, arguably even more worrisome for Florida State, because if DJ ain't it, Glenn, sure, go out there and see if you can do it. Tate Rodemaker, another 4-star, go see if you can do it. Fixing the defense is a much larger issue.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the numbers, they gave up almost 200 rushing yards to Tech, and then against BC they gave up almost 300. So that clearly is an issue. I don't know, I just think that DJ, I understand he was a highly recruited player, but guys get over-recruited all the time, and his numbers just haven't been there, and he's proven he's an average quarterback. So I was just surprised by that. Anyway, getting back to the ACC, so now Miami looks like they're the cream of the crop after what has happened the last week or so, with certainly with Florida State and Clemson. Cam Ward goes in there and looks like a Heisman Trophy winner, rolls Florida. Napier's got to certainly be feeling it. He's had two losing seasons and doesn't look great this year, especially with their schedule. So kind of talk. And then now Georgia Tech in the ACC, they look good. Virginia Tech looked terrible. So kind of give me your thoughts on the ACC. It's only been one game, I get it.
Right.
But your thoughts on the ACC after week one.
Yeah, I mean, it's Miami, and then you take a step and you start to look for contenders. And I think it will be more of a, you know, we strike off teams rather than adding them up, because we had this big group of squads that we looked at, and the conversation was like, okay, so it looks like the ACC is going to have more depth this year. I mean, I remember that was what Nick Saban said. That was what Kirk Herbstreit said. You know, we're going into, you know, College Game Day, and shoot, even Pete Thamel was been told by NFL scouts, this might be the best. Florida State might have the best defensive line in the country. It's like, we're playing Mythbusters in the ACC this year, fellas, because Virginia Tech ain't it.
Mm-mm.
SMU ain't it. I mean, they were in trouble against Nevada in week zero.
Right.
We're adding Georgia Tech to the picture. But, you know, we've got Louisville, who I still think is going to be a team to be reckoned with. Clemson looks like the exact same Clemson from last year. The offense does not look any better. I mean, we are very quick. NC State had to score 21 straight at the end of the game to beat Western Carolina, and I think the Wolfpack might be in trouble against Tennessee. So not only is it Miami jumping to the cream, is the cream of the crop, I think that right now Miami has created a gap with the rest of the ACC in a way where, coming into the season, my expectation was that we would have a really entertaining race with four or five teams all in the mix to make the conference title game when we enter November. And while that might be the case in terms of a team making it for that second spot, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, quite as competitive, especially quite as competitive with top-tier teams.
Chip, your headliner game of week two is Texas visiting the Big House against Michigan. We saw Texas just throttle Colorado State in their opener. Michigan got by Fresno, weren't quite impressive in that one. Michigan catching 7.5 in this game. How do you handicap this top 10 matchup, number 4 and number 9 getting after it in Ann Arbor?
Caught some heat on the Cover 3 podcast because I, you know, I watch a lot of football, but a lot, some of the Texas game that I watched had the offensive line not getting quite enough push and the run game not really sparking it. I know they won 52-0, but midway through that second quarter, it was 10-0 with some empty possessions in there. So here's what I'm looking at. I think that if Texas's offensive line, which has NFL draft picks like Kelvin Banks, they might get pushed around by Michigan's defensive front in a way that makes it a little tough for Quinn Ewers to really get that offense humming at a high level, especially playing on the road in the Big House. All that said, I have zero faith in Michigan's offense to be able to be truly dynamic. At 7.5, I don't have a strong play one way or the other, but I will tell y'all that I think the under is live all day. And if we get those scripted touchdowns, oh, boys, this is my favorite in college football, especially early. If you get, like, each team or one team scores, Then you jump back in on the live under because you know that once you get off those first 15 plays, these offenses might get a little bit lost or the defenses might adjust. So I think that it's going to be a game that Texas probably wins because Texas can ultimately come up with a score. It's going to be better at coming up with a scoring drive when Texas needs a scoring drive. I think they can do that better than Michigan coming up with a scoring drive when Michigan needs a scoring drive. But I don't think it's going to be easy for either team. Michigan, because they are going up against a good Texas defense and don't really know what they are offensively. And then Texas, just because they're going to be facing one of the nastiest defensive lines, the defensive fronts in the entire country. So I see it being a low-scoring rock fight. I mean, low-scoring, 7.5 might make you think Michigan, but until I see that that offense has settled into anything resembling consistency, it's going to be tough for me to ask much from them offensively, so I'll rely on the defense.
Talking college football with Chip Patterson from CBS Sports. We know the transfer portal's huge. What we don't hear about as much, almost like a salary cap thing, is how much NIL money is being spent by each team. Are we able to get any sort of grasp on that? Like, I've heard Ohio State spending like $20 million this year. Do we have any idea? Because some teams make a jump, like Miami, because of transfer portal, because they're able to pay a quarterback, Cam Ward.
Not only can we not get a grasp on it, but it's really tough for us to even know whether the numbers that were pledged or committed at the time of the transfer are going to end up coming, if all those checks are going to get delivered.
Huh.
There is one instance, Power 5 program that picked up a highly coveted transfer from the Group of Five before in the winter window. So in December. And everyone's like, wow, that was a really good addition. And he was part of a really big transfer class where it looked like they were spending. And then he and another coveted transfer left after spring practice. And while it might have been not a good fit, other things might have come up, I just wonder if the communication from the coaching staff to the collective, to the family, to the player, if in all of that communication and in the rush to try to get somebody signed with a portal window that would eventually close, I wonder if there's some miscommunication on what these numbers are. Hmm. I wonder if coaches and collectives are always on the same page. So not only is it hard for us to get a grasp of the numbers, but gentlemen, I think that we've got some situations where things are being pledged and then you go to the donors and you're not able to meet the pledges. I mean, it's the same thing with like a school drive or a church drive or anything else like that. You've got all these pledges. You put the big graph up with the thermometer. Congratulations, we've met our goal. Well, the real challenge is now you got to go and collect. And I wonder if that's going to be the mess that we have to deal with, at least until we get into something more resembling a salary cap here with the House antitrust settlement.
Let's talk a little Notre Dame A&M. Just kind of looking at some of the teams that aren't feeling great this week after the way they played this past week. We already mentioned a couple of them. I'm not totally out on A&M, and I mean, it's Elko's first year. Wegman looked terrible. I mean, terrible. Riley Leonard, transfer in from Duke, looked pretty good. I mean, didn't throw up huge passing numbers, but ran the ball well, didn't turn the ball over. Notre Dame's defense looked really, really good. And just kind of looking at Notre Dame's schedule going forward, I mean, this was this was the toughest out, right? Because everything else, I mean, they got to play Georgia Tech. They do have to play Florida State, but we've already talked about them. And then at USC, I mean, it looks like it's very beneficial to them, especially if that defense keeps playing the way they did.
I mean, y'all remember the old run with an egg and a spoon relay race when you were kids? That's Notre Dame in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Like, all they got to do is not drop it.
Right.
So take it slow, run the ball, play good defense. They have three true road games,
right. Three
true road games on their entire schedule, and their toughest one, they just won.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
In week one, just two true road games remaining, and the last one at USC. While, again, like I said earlier, I was impressed with USC. That could be tough. I mean, if Notre Dame walks into that season finale at 11-0 or 10-1, then yeah, they probably got this thing booked. I mean, they'd probably be playing that game not to make the playoff, but just to make sure that they can host a first-round playoff game. I am so impressed with Notre Dame's defense, the way they handled it. I think that offensively, they did a very good job with an inexperienced offensive line against a terrific Texas A&M defensive line in a hostile territory of getting Riley Leonard on the move and of running the ball with a little bit of misdirection. So he was not just a sitting duck back there for the pass rush. They knew that they were not going to win a game by scoring a whole bunch, but they also didn't think that Texas A&M was going to score a whole bunch. And on the A&M side, Connor Wegman might not be it.
I know.
We've been waiting for that, and it's almost a little like shades of DJU in terms of, you know, connecting that one. Just a player who we've heard about and talked about, and he looks good in practice and looks good in camp.
Highly recruited, right?
Yeah, yep. I don't know, and I just don't think that I think that Texas A&M is good. I just don't think Texas A&M is special. And when we start really wanting to talk about those teams at the top of the SEC, especially the expanded SEC, you know, you need to be special to enter the conversation when we're talking about top five, top six teams in the league. Texas A&M, salty defense, much better coaching at every place on the staff. They've upgraded a head coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. But at the same time, man, it's just where are the special wide receivers? Where are the special running backs? And Connor Wegman, of course, is one place where it starts. So there are some teams out there that have really good athletes and athleticism, but in performance right now look unremarkable. And that doesn't mean they can't get better as the coaches figure it out and as the players get settled into the season. But right now, Texas A&M is a fine. You know, like Texas A&M is a C+. They'll count towards graduation, but, man, you ain't really doing anything for your
right.
GPA.
Right, exactly.
Chip, thanks as always, man. We appreciate it.
We're going to talk to you a lot this year, bro.
Again soon, man.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Yep, right. That's Chip Patterson, college football writer for CBS Sports. You can give him a follow on Twitter, @Chip_Patterson. When we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.